right, we are live. This is Orion Rising. I am your host, Leonard O'Neill. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good morrow, depending on where in the world you are tuning into this show. It's Friday night, right? So here we are. There's my ugly mug. Share this out, right? Coming to you on Friday. All right, I got a nice topic today. Afterlife, ego or reality? It's a good question, right? Hold on a second. I got phlegm. I apologize for that, right? Some people always laugh at me and they go, well, you quit saying phlegm. I like saying that word, phlegm, right? It reminds me of Ahmed, the dead terrorist, right? How do you spell that? Ahmed. Phlegm. I love that character. It's hilarious, right? So share this out. Please share this out. All right. It's Friday. We're going to talk about the afterlife. There was a question posed at a retreat. Is the afterlife just a construct of the ego? Because the ego doesn't want to die. And the afterlife seems like something that the ego would construct so that you believe there's something after death. And it's just the ego, right? So we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to give you the rundown. We kind of touched a little bit on it, I think, in the retreat. It was either that or on Skull Island on Wednesday. Leanne and I were talking at some point, and it might have been in Skull Island, and we kind of touched on a little bit on it. So I thought that was a really good question, right? I see people saying hello. If you say hello to me in the chats, I can say hello to you back. Kathy's here. Mike's here. Reese is here. Welcome. Like I said, share this out. Especially the YouTube channel, because that's the new YouTube channel, because they deplatformed my other YouTube channel and deleted all of my archives. It's a good thing I have them backed up on my personal computer till the government decides they need to come and steal all my equipment. Then I'll just have to buy new shit and start all over. Do it again, right? Won't happen. Okay, so afterlife, ego or reality? Let's talk about that, right? To some of us, that's very simple, but to some people who, you know, I would say overanalyze things. Let's start with that. We, the human race, seem to overanalyze everything. And I think that's to do with there's so much of this propaganda and this misinformation and disinformation that there is nothing, literally nothing, on the internet that doesn't have something saying that's bullshit and it's nothing. Nothing. You could say the sky is blue and say why the sky is blue, because the sun is reflecting off the ionosphere and that changes the light into a blue spectrum light ray. And so we appear that this over sky of ours is blue. Although these days it's sort of a dingy gray about that color of my comb, because we pump so much shit into the atmosphere that welcome Julie, we pump so much shit in the atmosphere that we don't get to see it as blue like it used to be when those of us who were in our 50s were kids. We remember when it was blue, like Tahoe blue. Keep Tahoe blue. It used to look like this, right? That's a little toothpick, right? With some floss. Have an extra one on my computer desk in case I look in the camera and go, uh-oh, got some stuff in there, right? So I want to start first, before we get into this afterlife ego thing, I want to piss everybody off by talking politics, okay? So get ready. I'm going to trigger somebody. I always do. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a libertarian, and I'm not even listed as a libertarian. I'm listed as no party affiliation, because there is not a single party that I have found that don't have their head so far up their ass they can taste what's coming in their mouth, okay? And that's the truth of it if you're paying attention. I don't care what country you're in. There's some that you got kind of like that, because I kind of like some of the democratic ideas of leave people alone, man. Let's just free and whatever, right? But then I kind of like some of the conservative ideas of let's not destroy everything, right? Let's not destroy everything, but you know, the conservative ideas of telling people what they can frickin' do and who they can be with and what they can do with their body. You can kiss my whatever, right? So some of that is just wrong. And then you have people that try to put the two parties together, all the best parts of the parties. But then what you have is both those parties attack that person and their party, and they try to destroy it because they can't have that because it's not the norm, right? It's not their way. So here today, or I should say yesterday, and then following today, because it took the news media until today to figure this shit out. So the so-called president of the United States went to Europe, right, to talk to all the NATO countries. And there is where he says, this food shortage that's going to happen in America is directly related to this war with Russia and Ukraine. What the fuck? Now, I want to point this out. They're claiming. Which is probably true, that we as America, the richest soil on the fucking planet, are not producing any fucking wheat. And we're getting most of our wheat from Russia and from Ukraine. Now, we were also getting most of our gasoline from Russia and Ukraine. Now, under Barack Obama, it was so. Under the orange guy, he came in and fired them and turned on all the factories and plants, the 70,000 factories that were closed under Obama. Look this up. I know I'm pissing some of you liberals off that are way over there on the left, and you're like, you're a Republican, I can tell. You're a liar. And it's not a lie. It's a truth. You can look this up. Look it up yourself. Don't, like, ask a fact checker site, because that's going to be a mouthpiece for one side or the other. There is no independent bullshit. When they say it's independent, here's the perfect example. Okay, there was a host on Fox. I'm not going to name him because I'm not getting sued, but he claimed to be fair and balanced, and he was a Trump hater. Okay, so there was pressure put on him. He didn't like it. Then he got pressure from the other hosts, and they were fighting back and forth, and he cried like a baby and left. So now he's with another news agency, and they tote his name as fair and balanced. The only fair and the guy who was a forever hate Republican is what they call fair and balanced. So for the far left, who are psycho crazy, and the far right, who are psycho crazy, that guy probably seems fair and balanced, but he's not. Okay. So you have to understand that religion that is politics. Okay. And it is a religion. The whole ideology of politics, power, money is all the same, and it's all wrapped around politics. That is the religion of narcissistic evil people on the planet. Power, money, what they can do with it, and politics if they can get involved. And if they're not, then they're with the money behind the scene and they're running politics. That's their religion. Do you understand that? First of all, you have to understand that. Okay, now, let's come forward to when Joe Biden became the president. I was paying attention. He signed more than 158 presidential orders. In those 158 that he signed in the first 30 days, it was closing all factories in the United States that has to do with textiles, that has to do with food, that has to do with, but we're still making some corn. Okay? But they're paying people to burn their corn. Everybody was talking about it. They do this anyways. It's always been done that way. When people produce too much, so I'm not talking about a conspiracy theory. When people produce too much corn to regulate the price of it, our government steps in and pays the farmer three times what their corn's worth, and they burn the crop, or they come and bulldoze it all. And the government does. They bring people, contractors, to bulldoze it all, and they take it away. Okay. This is a normal thing to regulate prices of everything. But they turned off all of that. So, knowing that Russia was starting to become a problem, we rewarded Vladimir Putin by getting Europe hooked on all of their natural gas. We're buying gas and natural gas from them because we now need it, and we're buying it from overseas now. And instead of buying it from the Saudis like we were before, I don't know why, they decided to buy it from Russia, which gave Vladimir Putin hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars in his cash to run this war. Then when the war started, we were still buying, and from what I understand, we're still buying like $250 billion a day worth of oil from Russia. As we're complaining and saying we're wanting to fight for freedom with Ukraine, we're paying Russia's army to keep moving, and we're buying wheat from them, apparently. Knowing that this shit was happening, for the 2 or 3 months prior to this shit happening, our government did nothing. And in the last month and a half since the war has started, our government has done nothing. And now they're saying, be careful, because we're going to have a food shortage because all of our wheat comes from Russia. Not, oh, let me have an emergency meeting with all of the wheat companies and have them start really fucking producing shit, because in a minute we're going to have to cut off Russia and Ukraine because we're not going to be able to get the wheat from them. That's not the plan. That's not the plan from Joe Biden. The plan is we're going to have a wheat crisis. We're going to have a gas crisis. Do you guys fucking understand this? We can produce more oil and gasoline than the whole rest of the fucking planet. We were doing that for 4 years under the orange potato chip guy. Okay? And they stopped it and then started buying oil and buying textiles from China, the people who were trying to ruin America. Why is it that my 5-year-old and 8-year-old nephews understand that's a bad idea, but Joseph Biden and his entire fucking staff doesn't realize it, or do they? Now, this is going to tie into this whole ego thing, okay? And trust me, although I may have to leave in a second because my mother was deciding to go to bed 15 minutes ago and she just got up again and I think she's going to bed. So I may have to leave you guys with dead air while I go and get my mother out of bed again, because I think that's what she's doing. I got to give her a few minutes to see if she's actually going to the bathroom. So it's going to get to a point really quickly where I'm going to have a babysitter when I do my shows. So I'm not going to be able to do them live. I'm going to have to start recording them. Right. So we'll see here in a minute if I have to jump up. Okay. So instead of calling the wheat companies and saying, ramp up your production, right? Or we're not going to, you know, pay you to destroy the wheat. We need it for us. They're just like, hey, we're going to have a shortage of everything. Food, gas, get ready for it, America. Oh, and by the way, we want you to buy a $36,000 to $45,000 electric car because we're not going to give you any fossil fuel either. Okay, that's the truth and the reality of what's going on. So you guys need to figure that out for yourselves. And this is happening all over the world, I'm sure of it. Okay, so now, ego. Life after death. Is it ego and a construct of ego, or is it reality? Well, the way it was answered and the way I'm going to answer it is this. Okay. We know for a fact, because this happens, when you raise your vibration enough, you move into a place that's higher than the reach of your mind, the thinking mind, and higher than the reach of the egoic mind. So to be able to do so, the ego at that point is silenced. Okay. Where does the ego go? Is it just quiet now because it's pretending? Now, beyond that, you have memories and I have memories. Where are those memories stored? You can say, well, it's in this brain. Yet, no one ever, with any technology, has ever been able to dissect the brain and find where the memories are, or hook up to the brain and download those memories, or find where those memories are. We can hook up diodes to the brain and track things that are going on in the brain through the ganglia, electricity that's firing from place to place in the brain, yet we can't in any way interpret that or intercept that. We can stop the electronics from moving by forcing it to go in another direction, but that we can't catch it. We don't know what that electronic says. So when you have a memory, where does that go? Do you understand? And then if someone, here, let's go with the basic science before we get into esoteric, before we get into the macabre, right? When anything dies that has what we call a soul, cat, dog, especially humans, why is it, why is it that the human body becomes lighter? by like 1.78% of an ounce. 1 ounce, 0.78%. Disappears from the human body. Some say, oh, well, that was the weight of the air in the lungs as it was moving. No. No. That was the total weight of the blood and the oxygen in the blood moving. No, all that's still there. It's just not moving anymore. It just stopped. Your oxygen doesn't get depleted and disappear out of your bloodstream. Not right away. It's still there. It's just your heart stops. Boom. Blood stops moving. Still oxygenated. At least the part that has been oxygenated and is going back out to the limbs. Right? So all that is still there in your body. It's just not moving anymore. Movement doesn't cause weight. Movement might cause friction, but that does not cause weight. So there's a portion of your weight. Something leaves your body and is no longer there. So it's hard to say that a construct of ego, which is entirely in the mind, would then be immortal enough to suggest something that's immortal and then pretend that it's there to trap you further. Oh, I've left the body and now I'm outside. I'm not even in the body. People have had these experiences. Are they egoic delusions? Right? If you want to go down the path of like completely egoicizing, if that's a thing, everything, your ego will indulge you. Do you understand? So your ego can tell, if you ask the ego will tell you it is everything, including Superman, Spider-Man, whatever you need it to be, it will be, because it's the ego. It needs to keep you in the same place, running in place. Do you understand? So the construct of the ego is the thought that, hey, afterlife might actually be ego. Have you ever thought of that? Might be me. Okay. So some of these are decisions that you're going to have to make for yourself. But the problem that you have in this place is you can't tell what the truth is by looking for it. But then that is what the Tao says, is it not? He who seeks it will not find it. He who reaches for it will not grasp it. Because everything here is an illusion. Do you understand? So any contemplation of this place as reality is the illusion. So the entire contemplation of afterlife, is it ego? The second you enter that question, it's fake. That's not real. Because your ego is trying to get you to play within the ego, within the bounds of this vibration. Do you understand? The ego will run you in circles for your entire life. Well, what if this? What if that? What if that happens? And what if this happens? And oh my God, this is going to happen. And some of you associate with that. And you're high strung because you're the ego. You're associating with the thinking mind and the egoic thinking mind, the panic, the fear. Oh my God, what happens if my brakes fail when I'm in my car when I'm driving? What if I'm driving down the road and somebody shoots at me? Oh my God, they were talking about people killing themselves on the freeways driving. What if they come crash into me? I'm not going to go on that freeway. I'm going to drive through town. But when I'm in town, they say that people might rip you off or crash into your car. So now you can freak yourself out into a panic attack daily. And some people do. And I feel bad for them. They need help. Okay. So when you question things too much, you need to understand where the questions are associated. What is it that is driving the question? Right? Because you can ask a question of, well, is God real? Is there really some power in the universe? Well, let's look at that. You know, you have to look at things objectively, not subjectively. Right? Yeah. Julie said, oh, yeah. That what if can make us crazy, right? I mean, it's absolutely true. Yeah, what is the weight of air, Julie said? Zero. There is no weight to air. Air is light. There are things lighter than air, right? But air does not weigh. If I inhale, if I step on a scale and I go and step on a scale and weigh that, and then I wait and I go and I hold my breath with as full a lung capacity as I could possibly have and stand on the scale, there's not going to be one ounce of difference. Not going to be an ounce of difference. If I'm running and get my heart pounding to where my blood pressure is really high, my heart's racing at 250 beats a second, and I stand on a scale, it's not going to be heavier or lighter. It's going to be the same weight as if I stop, meditate, and I have my heart rate at 95 or 80, and I'm breathing normally, and then I step on the scale in bliss. Same weight. Do you understand? You can do these tests yourself. Scientists have. If you add water to your, take a drink of 8 ounces of water, that weighs. That's going to change your weight. Right? So if you drink a glass of water before you weigh yourself, or weigh yourself, then drink a glass of water and weigh yourself again, you're going to see. And unless your scale doesn't do like half pounds or whatever, if it only does 1 pound by 1 pound by 1 pound, you may not drink a pound of water. You know my point. Same thing when you eat. Right? You can eat 5 pounds worth of something, 3 pounds worth of something, 2 pounds worth of something. You know, a sandwich, a lot of stuff in there, could be a couple pounds, could be a pound or two. You get heavier. You could take a big crap, weigh yourself, take a big crap, weigh yourself again and lose a couple pounds. Shit that stuff out. Believe it or not, it's true. Okay. So the what ifs can drive you absolutely insane if you let them, right? And I know people that are like that. And every time they go, what if this, what if that, I start getting crazy with the what ifs. What if my underwear turned purple? What if my underwear turned to water? What if the Russians are hiding in my butt? And then they go, now you're being silly. And I'm like, you're not. You're being just as silly. I just got sillier, so you understood that I was being silly. Right? Right. Julie says, all I know is I gained weight when I moved back from the Mojave Desert. I'm absolutely sure it's the humidity. It is possible because the humidity is sticky and it weighs on you. You have water and it makes you sweat. So you have a lot more water weight and you have to drink more water because you're excreting water, right? So I believe that. It's sticky. Then the air is sticky and wet. There's more moisture in the air. So when you're in a dry environment, I know this for a fact. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area and I'm now in the Sacramento area, which means I literally have rivers on both sides of me surrounding me. And when I was a kid growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area, I literally had the Sacramento River that went into the San Francisco Bay. So I grew up less than a mile from water my entire life. I moved to Arizona in the Sedona Desert, 75 miles outside of Phoenix, Arizona, southeast of Phoenix, Arizona, way out in the Sedona Desert, right by the Sedona Mountains, in a place called Queen Creek, Arizona. You can look it up, way out in the boonies. My friends in Phoenix said we were so far east, we should be rezoned as Mexico or New Mexico. We were 100 miles from Mexico, the border, and 100 miles from New Mexico, way out in the desert. And it was really dry, and I got what they called the Arizona itch. Because I was used to living around moisture my whole life, my skin got too dry because it was used to having moisture in the air. So my skin and my whole entire body, that entire organ, had to get used to the dry climate and start making more sweat to lubricate the skin itself by itself. So I had to drink more water, and I was in the desert as well, so I had to drink more water because I was burning more water. So I had to drink a ton of water to get my body, and of course that makes you gain weight because you have this extra body weight. And then when I moved back here, I moved back to San Diego. First, I was living on the San Diego Harbor on my yacht on the water. And it was, summertime, so it was hot and sticky, and I was walking around sweating all the time. So you had tons of water on you and on your clothes all the time because the climate was that way. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that the humidity changed your weight. Absolutely. And then you have to drink more water when you're in the desert, and then you don't when you move to a climate. But then you do kind of if it is sticky, right? If the moisture is 80% or 120% and you're walking around changing 3-4 shirts a day, right? Like as if you're in St. Louis, Missouri or something, down Tennessee, down there in the deep south, Louisiana in some parts. And the Kakalakis are the same, right? They get a little drier and they get snow, but they're hot in the summer, right? They're sticky. So the humidity gets you. Everybody keeps telling me to move to North or South Kakalaki. All the people who live there, hence me saying it, Kakalaki, right? Because I'm from there. Because everybody that I know is like, you need to come to Kakalaki. What's that? Oh, Carolina, dumbass. Where are you from? California. Oh, that explains it. Right? Oh, I get you. All right, then. Let me tell you what I mean. North or South Carolina. That's how you'd say it out there in California, right? We say Kekaleki. Anyway, God's country, right? Okay, so the what ifs can drive you absolutely batty. And that can drive your mind insane. You can get caught up in this stuff, right? Yeah, Julie said, yep, surrounded by swamps, creeks, rivers, lots of water. See? So you have a lot of humidity. But you have mosquitoes too, right? We do too up here. A lot of those water bugs, right? What are they called? I don't know what they're called, but they're water bugs. The ones that glide on top of the water. They got a ton of those too, right? I don't know what they're called. They have a name for them, but we call them water bugs. Or what's the other one that we call them? Water skinners or something like that, water walkers. That's like crawdads, right? Crawfish, we call them mud bugs or crawdads. Everyone calls them crawfish. Then you go down south and they call them mud bugs. And we're like, there you go. Because most of the people in California have a southern accent, but people don't know that. And most of the time you get up here and they're thinking you're talking like this. Hey, buddy, how you doing? What's going on? Some people are like that in the cities, or you got the surfer dudes and the surfer chicks. Oh, my God, Becky, look at her butt, right? You got the surfer dudes. Hey, bro, hang 10, man. People do talk like that here in California. It just depends on where you're at. But then when you get outside of the big cities, right? Yeah, crawdads. They say crawdads in Kakalaki, right? Is that where you're at, Julie? Is that what you said? You're at Kakalaki, right? So in North Carolina, they say crawdad. We said crawdad, or we would call them mud bugs or crawdads, and that comes from the South, right? It's either crawdad or mud bug, but people will call them crawfish. I had to learn that, like in the Deep South. In Louisiana, they say crawfish. I'm like, what's that? They're all mud bug? Oh, I get you. Right? But yeah, we would say crawdad first, and then we learned mud bug, and then I had to learn crawfish. Either way, it's still good eats, right? Suck the head. Suck the head. Get that salty juice out of there. And if you can get the brains and some little bit of meat up in there, it's good golden, baby. Anyway, I used to go, when we were kids, we used to take a 5-gallon bucket and we go in the creek. And of course, the area where we lived in, there was creeks. And my grandfather called it a crick, by the way, because a creek was something a board did, right? When you stepped on it, it creaked. So it was a crick. Either way, we'd go in the cricks and we would go and we'd catch them and we'd throw them in a 5-gallon bucket till we had a whole bunch. Then we'd go cook them and eat them, boil them down and eat them. Or we'd fry them on a barbecue. We were doing this at 7, 8 years old or younger, not even kidding you. And we'd go and catch bluegills and do the same. We were illegal fishers. We'd catch bluegills and we'd cook and eat whatever the hell they size they were, right? So we were doing that all the time. Yeah, crayfish. There's another one. Crayfish. Crawfish, crayfish. Just depends on your accent, right? Water spiders. That's what I was talking about, Kelly. Kathy, that's the one that's on top, right? Water spiders. That's what we call them, water runners or water striders, right? You said water spiders. In the turtle pond. Yeah. And because they look like it, right? I mean, they're not really spiders, but they look like it. They look like a daddy long legs with a bigger body, and they just run across the water. There's a name for it. And I don't know what it is. But yeah, crayfish, crawdad, mud bug. Depends on where you are. They're good eats. Right? Good eats either way you look at it. So we used to go and do that. And when I was a kid, we used to love it. And then we'd saute them in butter. Oh, yeah, baby. That was good stuff. Cooked the bluegill in aluminum foil with butter and lemon. We were doing that at 10 years old with a fish. Sometimes we'd have a stick with, fishing line tied to it and a hook with it. We go get a night crawlers, dig them up out of the ground, go fishing. We were like Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. Not even kidding you. So I did that right here in the San Francisco Bay Area, East Bay, not in the cities. Big cities are caca, right? I hate this big city I live in. We live just outside of a suburb. I'm in the burbs. Love that movie, by the way. And we ask those questions, too, all the time about everything, right? The what ifs drives us crazy. Because now if you go and look up crawdads, crawfish, mud bugs, whatever you want, they'll tell you how poisonous they are. Now, listen. This is another thing. So I remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, I remember when steak killed you with a heart attack and caused cancer, made you get cancer of your colon and your colon fell out, okay? Last night on the news, they announced the number one contributor to cancer is now alcohol. Is now alcohol, not sugar. They've yet to say sugar, even though those of us who actually have done the studies know that sugar is the number one cause of cancer. So they're saying, well, the fermented kind in alcohol, and those people who drink alcohol get cancer. Weird, because most people that I know, might be because they're Irish, Welsh, European, Southern Viking, they pickle themselves and they drink their whole lives and they don't die of cancer. Unless they only eat meat and potatoes and they don't eat any kind of healthy vegetables to clean out their colon and then they get cancer. But every single person that I've ever known in my family and other people's families that drank alcohol, that were alcoholics their entire lives, they never died of cancer. And they usually didn't die from alcoholism either. Okay? They got old and had something happened. Alzheimer's. Oh, that must have been caused by the alcohol. Anything that normal people think that everyone else does is, well, you smoke cigarettes, you're going to die of cancer. You're going to have a heart attack. You drink alcohol, they're going to die of cancer. You have a heart attack. You eat all kinds of sugar. Oh, no, I eat all kinds of sugar. No. Sugar's fine. Yeah. Sugar's fine. Because the yuppies like it. And they do it. They eat sugar all day long. And they don't want to talk about alcohol either now, which is cool, because they drink wine. Well, it's not the wine that gets you. It's not the champagne that gets you. It's the stuff those poor people drink, you know, that one that starts with a B and it's in that can. And then those other ones that are brown liquor. Yeah, those cause cancer. Not the red and the white. Not the wines. We just have sulfates to give you the horrible fucked up hangover. But we'll contend with that because we'll take medication. Given to us by our doctor. Yeah, they just keep looking for something to blame. Never mind their pharmaceuticals. Julie is saying this. Let me put it up on the screen right here. Ryan will read it for those of you who are on the MP3 file, right? They just keep looking for something to blame. Never mind their pharmaceuticals. Look over there, people. Look over here, right? It's not all this medication that we're giving you with the fucking fucked up side effects. Right? We'll give you this for a headache, but you might have vomiting, diarrhea. You might grow an eyeball in your asshole, right? Your nose might pop off and you might have some sort of sexual dysfunction. What the fuck? How am I going to have sexual? What kind of sexual dysfunction? Is it the kind that I get a hard on and I keep it for about 8 hours and I need to have a nun, a priest, and a couple of nurses play with it? I'm all right with that one. Or is it like Chinese foo-foo where it falls off? Right? I mean, what are we talking here? Right. Let's just design and define the parameters of sexual problems. Right. What is the problem? Right. I mean, I'm looking at, oh, you might get a hard on that won't go away. Okay. My wife better be ready then. I'm not married. Well, I am married, but I'm divorcing. But you know what I'm saying? I don't think you women would be too concerned with it either. If your man kept a hard on for hours, I think it's a dream of a woman, right? You mean I can go on this guy until I get off and he won't lose his hard on? Hello. Oh, George, take this. Harvey, come here. Take this pill. Well, I'll wait. Half hour, bro. You're going to be hard as a freaking diamond over here. And then I'm going to have you for hours and wear your ass out. Just lay back. You're not going anywhere and it's going to stay until we take you to the doctor. So first, I'm going to get mine. Then we'll go to the doctor and get yours. Let's be serious. Americans don't see that as a problem, right? Okay, after 8 hours, let's go talk to the doctor. It's still up. What are you going to do? Give me another pill. That's a smart idea. Yeah, okay. Let me take another pill that's going to make this go down. And then I can't get it up for a month. Oh, but I can take the blue pill again. Well, then let me just have a prescription for this and that, and we're good. I'll take that, get a hard on. A few hours later, take that, go to sleep. I'm good. My wife's good. She's happy. I'm happy. Yay. Oh, but the side effects are that my penis might fall off or I might grow one on my nose. Well, if I grow one on my nose, again, I'm happy. My wife's happy. I'll change my name to Cyrano. Right? Just saying. Sorry, I'm being silly today. So the truth is, even with that stuff, if you go look anything up online, the internet is an ego now. Okay? So when you look something up on the internet, it's going to say the opposite of what you wanted to say. It's going to say what you wanted to say, but then it's going to have like 47,000 other doctors that go, no, there is no definitive proof. Whenever they say that word and they put the finger quotes, there is no definitive proof that that does. After they say definitive proof, it's a lie. 100% always a lie. It's gotten to the point where even like the Constitution, the Magna Carta, the whatever you want to call the constitutions of every country, they're looking at and going, well, that's like the Pirate Codex. It's really more of a guideline than it is a law. And that's what they're doing with everything. They're easing their way through it and saying, because, you know, there's no way the founding fathers could have ever been psychic enough to go, okay, the government's going to be run by deviant dickheads that are worse and more evil than we are, when we're the evil landowners that own slaves and we're making a constitution saying everyone is free and everyone is considered equal except for those fucking niggers. Pardon my language. Someone's going to grab that soundbite out of here now, and they're going to go, look, he said the N-word, and they're going to paint me as a fucking racist now, and I shouldn't have said that, right? And a fucking KKK member. That's all the soundbite that other people will play to discredit me. Fuck them. So that's what they were. I mean, think about it. I hate to say it, but the founding fathers had slaves, man, and they kept them. They were slaves to the British, and they fought and they got freed from the British, and some of the black people fought with them. And guess what? They went, yeah, okay, so you're still a slave, but we're free. And every man is considered equal. All men are considered equal, except for black people and anybody that we think should be a slave. But it took them a while to get past that and understand that. And some people rose up to fix that. Okay. And they did. And I'm not going to buy your bullshit story, because I've done the study, and my whole life I was in school and I learned this. Oh, that was the indoctrination. Oh, but we're not indoctrinating your children now. But you were being indoctrinated by white racists before in the systemic society. And it's still that way, but we're not indoctrinating your children. We're not even teaching CRT to your kids. I don't even know where you got that idea. Huh. Must have been those racist guys that are teaching your kids that. Right there's Jacqueline. Welcome, Jacqueline. You know what? I went down right after Jacqueline sent me something in the mail. I said, I'm about to go to the mail and check. I went down to the mail. There was nothing there. I walked back, came in my house, sat down. I sat down, looked out the window. The mailman drove by. So I don't know if it's still here or not today, Jacqueline. After I get off air, I'm going to go back down and check the mail again, because I do know the mailman was in fact here. So I got in my steps today. I walked the 400 yards to the mailbox and back on one foot and using the heel of my other foot to do it with my cane. I do have crutches now, but that's not much better. I can keep my foot up, I think, more time than not. So I have to get coordinated with the crutches, but then I can't carry anything back. So now I have to have a satchel with me because I don't have an extra hand. So I'm going to just use my cane to go down to the box, but I will check it and let you know if I got that parcel that I believe is supposed to be delivered, because it said that it was. So we'll see. It said that I saw the thing you sent me. Okay. So they've effectively, as my microphone kept falling down more and more, and I was leaning down to talk in it, they've effectively turned the internet into another ego. So when you go to look anything up, it's going to give you an equal and opposite reaction. It's now become the proverbial universe. There is no action without its equal and opposite reaction. So you can't have any, there's no definitive answer to anything. So if you ask that question, afterlife, ego, or reality, it's going to be all ego answer. Do you understand? But the truth is, there is a consciousness within you that doesn't cease when the body dies. Yet most people who are stuck in their ego and in their thinking mind can't comprehend that, because the ego will not allow them to. Right? The ego won't allow you to comprehend anything that's after life. That's why the construct came up with the question, is afterlife just a construct of ego trapping you because it doesn't want to die? Right? And it wants you to think about that and ponder that, not think about it objectively and say, where do these memories go and why is it that when someone dies, other people can contact them and they can give information that I could not possibly know to give to their loved one? oh, well, that's just what? The ego transferring from their ego to my ego to give me information? That sounds like an egoic construct if I ever heard one. Now I'm supposed to believe that my ego can interact with other people's egos even after they're deceased. So the ego must continue. So where's that thought process? Well, it's not around anymore, right? Well, then where does that ego go? Well, there is no definitive proof that it goes anywhere. Well, is it just in the body? Is it still thinking? Well, there's no brain activity. So if the ego was the mind, was inside this piece of flesh that's inside the skull cap of mine, and that was where the ego resides, if it were still thinking after death, there would be electronic shit going on in the brain. But that doesn't happen. My fingernails and hair keep growing because those are still things that are active in the body to do so. Do you understand? They're still kind of the oxygen and the fuel that's just kind of sitting around, right? So the fingernails, which already have, like, you know, you have to understand that they're not growing on the heart pumping now. You have to understand that your hair is not growing only, it doesn't stop growing when you die because it was already it supposed to be growing and had the nutrients to do so. So does your fingernails. It's already there in that place. You can chop off your finger and the fingernail on that finger will continue to grow. Has nothing to do with the body that it's on. The body already charged that finger and gave it the nutrients to grow the fingernail. So if I literally cut this off and set that fingernail down and watched it, the fingernail would grow still for a couple of weeks. Same thing with the hair. If I scalp myself completely bald and had that patch of hair and the skin attached to it, even though the skin's dying, the hair would continue to grow for a while. Because the nutrients are already there for it to happen. Has nothing to do with the aliveness right now. That was like, okay, here's an example. I got that ulcer in my foot. Okay. Welcome, Tony. Welcome. I got that ulcer in my foot and they took an x-ray. And that was on Wednesday night and then another x-ray on Thursday. And they said, well, the x-ray is about 4 days behind reality. Wait a minute. You took a shot. Took a picture of just now, my foot. And you're telling me that it's 4 days behind reality. Explain that to me. And they're like, well, because we're taking an image, but that image is current.
Yeah.
Yet everything is still active. And it's still doing damage. But wait, you took a picture now. And you're telling me that that it could still be doing damage for up to 4 days because it's 4 days behind. But when you take another image in 4 days, it's 4 days behind again. Right? That's why we have to go in and manually look at it. So for 4 days, they cut my foot open from the bottom with no anesthetic, by the way, and went into my bone and poked my bone with metal and then looked at it, poked it. And then put shit in there and packed it and came back the next day and did the same thing for 4 fucking days. Kept my wound open and turned what was the size of a dime into the size of a quarter by cutting my shit out and hollowing it out and going in there. Oh, yeah, it looks like it didn't go into the bone. You're going to keep the foot if this motherfucker heals. Right. That's okay, Allison. It's all right. You're eating sushi. That's... Allison said, sorry, I'm late. I was eating sushi. Right now, I'm hoping that it was sushi, the rolls, and not somebody named Sushi. Although that's sexy if you were eating somebody named Sushi, right? There was a comedy where this guy was Asian and he was trying to say Susie. The guy's girlfriend was Susie and he kept saying sushi. Oh, I love sushi. I eat sushi all the time. And the guy was getting pissed off. What do you mean you eat Susie all the time? Yeah, I love sushi. Sushi's good. He was trying to say sushi, the Asian guy, and he didn't understand that the American guy was saying Susie, and it was girlfriend. He thought the American guy couldn't say sushi right, and there's a problem, he thought, with the accent. And so that was made for a funny scene. Good sitcoms do that. Made for a funny... Yes, it was. Julie said, Jesus, that's rough. It was rough, right? Yeah, right? So Tony says, that was the mind fuck. Let me put it up on the screen. That was the mind fuck, the 4 days behind thing. I hope your foot and, of course, yourself are doing well. Yes. So they dug in for 4 fucking days. Right. I know, right? I was like, what? And then they found these fibers that were growing out of my body, like as if they were trying to connect with each other like tentacles, and they didn't understand what it was, so they kept cutting it out. And then eventually they said, well, this must be normal. And someone looked it up, and they said some people have this. They heal faster than others. And so they were tripping because they thought I was an alien. I'm not kidding you. Right? They thought I was either an alien construct, a robot, a biorobot, or an alien, or both. And I was like, pretty close, because I am an alien and this is a construct. And they were like, what? Looking at me like I was blue. I'm like, this is an illusion. And so is this body. So in fact, it is a construct. So in a sense, it is AI. And so then they were like, okay, this guy must be something wrong with him, or he's high. And I'm like, you just a second ago were accusing me of being an alien or a robot. And when I told you I was, you thought I was fucking crazy. But you're the one who thought that I was that. So they couldn't figure it out. Right? They couldn't figure it out. So they left it alone. Right, but now it's down to the size of it. I can't get a regular Q-tip into the hole now. I have to take the Q-tip and tighten it. You know how you do that? You make the tip smaller. So it's gone down really small now to where I, because I'm trying to pack it every day, and they give you those little small Q-tips. You know, it's a long stick, but the head of it is really tiny, and those fit in good. But they only gave me like four of those to come home. Oh, that's good. After 4 days, I don't have a Q-tip that fits in my fucking wound anymore. So now I'm putting it in there with regular Q-tips, and I have to twist the Q-tip to make it real small so it'll go in. Eventually, I'm going to cut the fucker in half and turn it around and use it as a plug the other way and just use the stick. I'm sure I'll probably have to do that. But the reason they don't want you to do that is because that's hard. That's what caused this problem, was I stuck something hard in there and infected my foot. So it's doing well, but it's still deep, right? I don't know how deep, but it's deep enough where I can shove a bunch of shit in it, you know. But I shove a gauze in there with iodine on it, and then put iodine over it, and then put a patch over it, and then put a fucking gauze over it, and then wrap it with gauze, and then wrap it with a fucking ace bandage every day, then put on a boot. So that's insane that they didn't know what was going on. I'm like, why didn't you tell me? You know, they're like, well, we did notice here that according to your medical records for your entire life, that you heal quite rapidly. I'm like, yeah, I do. They're like, you heal like rapidly, better than 98% of all humans. I'm like, yeah. And I was just looking at them, and they're like, oh, you care to expand on that? I'm like, yeah, I heal good. I heal fast. So they said, like, I'm not from here. I was born in this body, but this body had to speed up its vibration to match mine. So I have abilities that you guys don't have. I wasn't going to tell them that. They already were tripping and looking at me like, this guy might not even be from here, man. Is that possible? Fucking doctors. I must have seen, and this is not a joke, I must have had 10 doctors in 5 days, maybe more. Because some of the people who came in and looked at me, I wasn't sure if they were doctors or if they were nurses. And I had many nurses, lots. Right? There was a lot of people looking at my foot. And a lot of nurses looking at my junk. I was all right with that. You know, they'd come in and throw back my shit and look at my junk. Yeah, it's right there. Somebody want to touch it? Show of hands. I was all right with that. Anyway. So if you get into your own head and you think, and this is the problem that people have. So we're gonna be doing webinars in the future talking about this. We were going to do one that we didn't finish. Was called, is your reality getting in your way? Are you getting in your own way, right? Is reality getting in your way? The answer is yes, because most people are caught up in this construct and they start thinking that the thinking mind is them. The egoic mind that's telling them stuff all the time, that's making fear, they're living in fear, and they can't turn their brain off because they think that's them. They associate their reality with that thinking mind. Peter, welcome, my brother. So that causes a problem. So is afterlife ego? No, but you can ponder it as ego forever, and ego will run you around in circles, giving you any possible scenario that you'll possibly buy that'll make you afraid of reality, because it doesn't want you to stop listening. Neither does the mind. The mind only does what it's told, so the ego hijacks the thinking mind. The thinking mind just is there because its job is to do that. Do you understand? So the ego tells the thinking mind what to think, and the thinking mind says to you all this nefarious shit, right? starts off with all the fear. What if something happens? What if that doesn't work? What if you're going, oh my God, well, you could possibly die from this. What if every time you say that, like Tony said before with the, you know, or who was it that said that with the if, right? You can have that if in your head for the rest of your life and you'll never go anywhere besides fear. So it's funny because the answer should have been no answer, because people who are not stuck in their egoic mind understand the answer, as your ego is what's causing you to ask that question. So the very idea that you're asking that question should tell you, but it doesn't, because most people are, the people who ask that question are stuck in the egoic thinking mind and they believe that's their personality. That's their soul. So you have to then go down the road of how is it that you explain the body loses weight when a person dies? Where does your memories go, your personality? When you look at a dog or a cat, you can love what they look like. That's usually why you buy the animal. You like the way the animal looks. I like a black lab, or you like a shih tzu, or you like a pug, or a Rottweiler, or whatever. So you get that dog, but it's not that that you are in love with. It's the personality of the dog. When that dog dies, that personality leaves and all you have is a body. And you look at that and you know that whatever was that was in there is no longer there. Personality's gone. It's not just stuck in the brain of that dog and the brain just turned off. Your ego would have you want to believe that, because then the ego says you have to be in this brain to be. So the ego wants you there. So the ego will tell you everything you want to hear. See, that's how guys and girls, but mostly men, get in the pants of some woman and they're dicks. And I don't mean with their penis, they're assholes. And they treat women like shit, but after they had sex with them. Because they tell women what they want to hear, what the woman is in their mind constructing as their perfect white knight, as the perfect gentleman, as all of that. And he will become that because he has an end game to have sex with you. And then after he does, a couple of months later, you start to realize this guy's a total asshole. And then you guys try to fix him because you think you can. And he's laughing at you the whole time. And then he starts trying to screw all your friends, your family members, whatever. Or you know, he dumps you, whatever. It's still, they understand that. Someone who is actually intelligent understands how easy it is to bed someone, men and women. You just find somebody who has low self-esteem and you play with their ego and you build up their ego and you tell them all the good shit they need to hear. And then you get them to trust you and then you have sex with them. It's that simple. It takes a person, a special person, to know that and not do it. Because it's not right to do to somebody. It's wrong. Because you're lying and tricking them. But some people, that's all they have. And they'll do that. And what happens is, most of the time, the good-looking guy, 90% of the time, the guy who is the one that everybody wants, he wants everyone, not just you. And that's unfortunately the way it is. Right? And now everybody's talking, so now I'm having all kinds of pop-ups, windows, because I didn't mute a few of the chat rooms that I'm in, and now everybody's in there going, blidaloom, blidaloom, blidaloom. So I apologize if you guys are hearing that. Okay? Right, Tony says, let's put this up here, Tony, and I'll read it for everybody. He says, yeah, right? I've seen my granddad and my great aunt after death, but still at home. And you can just sense, yeah, see, there is that too, right? You can sense, although you can see them, some people can. Not everybody can, Tony, just so you know. But those of us who can. They're not there anymore. They've left, but you can still see them and communicate with them. Oh, is that what you were doing? Okay, Aaron, because I got the pop-up. I was like, what is going on? Aaron's talking, doing something. You were actually sharing the thing in the group. Thank you. Thank you, brother. So if you buy into your ego, it will keep you running in circles forever. If you are in your thinking mind and you can't turn your mind off, it's because you're allowing your ego to run your mind. And that is, you know, in lies the problem of afterlife. You won't ponder the afterlife because the ego won't let you do it. Do you understand? The ego will give you that question. Well, maybe it's just a construct of mind. Ever thought of that? Because it doesn't want you thinking that there's something outside of it. Because if you think there's something outside of it, you'll look for that. And then the ego is going to die at some point. So the ego gets into your mind and tells your mind to tell you stuff. And so the thinking mind, you become synonymous with. A lot of people do. Most of us do at one point in our lives. It's understanding that the reality that your mind is telling you is a construct. Do you understand? And then once you realize that, you start to realize your perception is also a construct. You're seeing this illusion. You're experiencing this illusion. It's necessary for you to do. So you have to have the ego until you don't need it anymore. But you need the ego, you need the mind, you need this construct, this reality, until you don't need it anymore. The problem is that people in this place realized that thousands of years ago and took that memory from you and tried to eradicate it from the entire planet with egoic thought over and over and over. And every time something was invented, they corrupted it into another ego. Religion. From spirituality, they corrupted the spirituality and made it a religion, and the religion became egoic. Then you take the structure of people trying to live, and they're trying to get together and work together, and then someone says, what we need are a set of laws. But to have those, we have to have people that are in charge of the laws. And since we all can't agree on things 100%, we need to have people that we elect to support us and to represent us for these laws. And hence they created the religion of politics, power, and money. And evil people created that religion for themselves. They don't care about spirituality. They created the mundane reality that they want. And that's the caste system that they've set up in everything. Nothing in this reality is not set up by the caste system except your freedom of thought. Do you understand? That's why Shakespeare in Hamlet had the scene in Hamlet when Hamlet was reading a book and when Ophelia's father, I can't think of his name right now, when he came in and said, what's the matter? He said, with what? Right? Hamlet said, with what? He said, your book. What are you reading? And he said, words. He was being very objective in that scene. He wasn't being defiant, although it came across as defiance, but he was being objective. And that's why even he said at the point where he was looking and it was supposed to be in his mind, but in Shakespeare, you didn't have a chorus that would sing out what was in their mind. So the person would then kind of look away and like look this way and talk to themselves. How he's being so as a matter of fact. I shall have to try something different. And then he goes back to talk. That's him in his mind, right? So you're supposed to understand that as the reader or when you're watching the movie, if it was done right, or the play, you understand that they looked away from the character, looked kind of down or up, and they're talking to themselves here this way because they're talking to themselves. And so then, you know, he said, well, then I will take my leave of you. And Hamlet said, right, you can take anything. There is nothing that I would more willingly part with than my life. So he was saying, you can take your leave. You can take anything you want to take from me. And I would let you have it for you to go away, except my life. Do you understand? Because he valued his soul. But he understood he was being objective, not subjective. He understood the reality of the egoic thought process and the egoic mind. And that's why that scene was written by Shakespeare. It's esoteric. If you understand and you're outside of ego or even perceive that place and be objective with your own reality and with your thought process and your spirit and your soul, you then realize that ego is a construct and anything, a book, everything else is just another ego. But it's also an escape from ego. If you're reading a really good story and you escape from this reality and you're in that place of witnessing, because those were the movies before we had movies to watch. Do you understand? You would read the book and you would construct that movie in your mind. And you would watch that movie while you were reading about it, and it would be in your mind and it would be playing for you. And you were the observer. And that's why everyone did that. That's why people listen to music. That's why people do those things. And this is the stuff that I was going to talk about in more detail, but ran out of time at the retreat. Those of you who are at the retreat, you understand. I was talking about getting to that place where the ego can't communicate, nor the mind communicate with your soul anymore. And you can be there. And I was teaching you how to do that. Pardon me while I drink some water. Right? So Tony says this. Let's put this up there, right? Tony says, you don't have to delve too much into this if you answer this about ego and sun signs, right? Like, I'm a Gemini. Do you think Gemini can have more trouble with ego than other signs? I have read meditations is highly encouraged for Gemini, because the Gemini mind is usually going over and over everything, right? So it's very possible. So if the Gemini mind is, right, then you're constantly mulling everything over, then you might have a little bit more trouble with the ego, because the egoic mind, than other people. But I think we're all kind of that way, because Pisces, people who are Pisces are the same way. They're very egoic. You know what I mean? So I'm a Virgo. We're very analytical, which means we overthink things and we analyze everything. So again, are we in the egoic mind process doing these things? Right. So I think all signs have that. I think if you really delve into all sun signs, you're going to find that they all say the same shit. Right. I've done that where you look at different things. I mean, there are different traits. Don't get me wrong. They do make up different personality traits. Right. And then some people say, well, that's the only reason why you have a different personality from someone else. So it's actually an egoic process, or a process that is inherent in your DNA and you have no choice. And you're going to, those are basic constructs. Do you understand? And that's the ego's trying to say that it's definite and it's always, and but everyone would be identical if there was no sun sign, if there was no astrological sign that would change your personality minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. Do you understand? So those properties were put into place so that every single person that's born, unless they're born at the exact same second as someone else, and even then, because of their DNA, they are destined to be completely unique. Because even someone who shares the exact same birthday with someone else has a completely different DNA makeup. And even twins have a different DNA makeup. Even identical twins have differences. I have never had a problem recognizing identical twins apart. Once I learn what their names are and they try to play tricks on you, right? Once you get past that and they're honest with who's who, there's differences. They're not identical. To the glancing eye, they are, right? If you're just kind of glance at them and you don't study them, then yeah, that's just like saying all Chinese people, all Japanese people, all Mexican people, all white people, all black people, they all look alike. If you're not used to looking at a race, you don't see the nuances that are different in the race. So therefore, you think everybody looks the same until your mind gets used to seeing the differences. And then you go, no, they don't. They look completely different. Just because everybody has the same brown skin doesn't mean they look the same. Just because everybody has the same pink skin or white skin or yellow skin doesn't mean they look the same, right? All Asian people have black hair and dark eyes, so now they all look alike. No, they don't. But if you don't study them and you look at a picture of 47 Japanese girls all dressed in the exact same clothing, all around the same age, at glance, you're going to go, they all look the same until you take a closer look. Then you're going to see the differences that are, you know, genetic. So even in the same family, there's different genetic codes that make up each person. Do you understand? Otherwise, we'd look identical, all of us, all the time, and there would be no differences. Then it wouldn't matter if you bred with a man or a female. It wouldn't matter who it was, because you could breed with your sister or your mother, because you're all identical anyways. And there's no differences in this, so there's no breakdown of the DNA. That's not the way it works here, okay? It's the same. So when the ego, getting back to the ego will have you believe that it's not, and that the construct is, well, you're worse off than anyone else, because that's just the ego. The ego wants to be heard always. So it's always going to try and talk to you until it can't. Okay. Right. So yeah, Tony says, oh man, right. That's funny. He says, oh yeah, man, that's funny. Me too, Leo. I've known statistically unlike number of identical twins. Me too, which is weird, right? And I could always tell them apart. Some people have that natural ability because we look closer than others, right? Some people, you know, they try to hide in plain sight, and you can do this. I had a guy when I was younger. I was working at a place. I'm not going to say what. And one of the guys was stealing, and he actually borrowed money from me, and he was coming to pay me back, but he also knew there was an investigation going on. He was trying to get me to tell him about the investigation, because I had just been questioned by this investigator. So the investigators saw, hey, that guy's out there talking to that guy. So what he did was he put on a sweater over the top of his shirt and tie, because he was wearing a suit, and took off the jacket and had a shirt and tie on when he talked to me. And he put a sweater over that and then came out and was walking through the crowd and walked right up and was smiling with this, I'm walking right up and he has no idea it's me. And I turned and I looked and went, why is the investigator sneaking up? Probably because I'm talking to this guy. So I kept talking to the guy and I was like, no, bro, look, you borrowed $50 from me. You said you were going to pay it to me. Give me my $50. I'm not telling you anything about the investigation, which I wasn't going to anyways, because I was told not to. He still tried to fire me, because then he tried to lie to me and say that I said to the guy, I was telling the guy something. And I said, bro, you walked right by. I watched you. And everything you heard was what I said. And this is what I said. So you're lying now. You're lying. You're trying to say I said something I didn't. And I saw you walk by with your little sweater on, trying to hide your tie, looking at me with a smile like he has no fucking clue it's me. You're not that smart, bro. And he got mad and he wanted to fire me because now he's mad at me. So I told him I was going to sue them. So then he said I could keep my job. And then I said, fuck you. I quit, because now you're going to try and fire me no matter what. And so I quit before they fired me. Right. But he wanted to fire me because I found him out. Right. Right. He said he've known four pairs of identical twins. This is Tony talking again. And one trio of triplets. I don't know that I've ever known triplets. Right. But I've seen them like on television. But yeah, I've known a lot of identical twins. Right. Weird. I was related by marriage to identical twins. So, you know, some people pay more attention to detail than others. I mean, at first glance, you know, you're walking down the road, you just look at somebody, and then later you look at somebody else, right? I had that happen to me. I had that happen to me, and I didn't realize they were twins at first, and then I went, they got to be twins. I was working at this place, and there was these twins that were working there, blonde girls, and I was in the warehouse and one of them walked in. I only thought there was one. And she says, hey, Leo, how you doing? I said, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. And then she walked by me and went out over here out the door to the other part of the sales floor. Like 30 seconds later or less, she didn't have time to run all the way back around. She came walking back in. Hey, Leo, how you doing? She was wearing something different. I said, hey, I'm good. How are you? And she walked by and I looked at somebody and they said, you look confused. I'm all, is there two of them? Or did my trip in that she ran out and changed her clothes? No, they're twins. I was like, okay. Wow, I thought it was the same person. And went, wait, she has different colored pants on. And then I thought, did I miss that? I thought I was usually, it was that, right? They were twins. I laughed about that. I don't know if I ever told them that happened, right? Bo, welcome, my friend. Right? So I don't know if I ever told them that I didn't see. At first, I was like, what the fuck? They're twins? Are they twins? Why is there two of them, or am I tripping? And she just ran back over and changed her shit, right? Turned out they were twins. But the ego will screw with you if you let it. And the ego will tell you these things. So the question itself, afterlife, ego or reality, is an egoic thought. The ego wants you to ponder that because it wants to say to you, there is no afterlife. It's a construct of ego, right? But when you think of it objectively, again, like I said, you realize, first of all, there's weight in the body that disappears that science cannot explain because everything else doesn't weigh, right? There's nothing that, that they can say definitively. Oh, there's that word again. Makes that weight, right? You have been gone for a while, right? I think I saw your name pop up somewhere else just recently, maybe on one of the other shows or the retreat, but you've been gone for a while. Yes, you have. You know, with this whole thing with COVID, everybody's been missing, right? Some people didn't come back. So welcome, my friend. Right? Yeah, so I think you were live. I think I saw you live or something. I saw your name pop up. That's what happened, I think. But I know that it's somewhere I saw your name pop up other than my show just now, unless it was on like one of the shows that I was just on or one of the retreats I was just in speaking or something. Anyways, or I was having a premonition that you were coming back, which is possible. Hold on, I'm moving my foot. Putting my foot up in the chair. I had it up over here on the thing underneath the desk, and that was bothering me, so I'm putting it up over here on the left on the chair. So the answer to that question is, right, that's what it was. You were on TikTok, bro. That's what it was. He says, I'm on TikTok now. That's what it was. I saw you on TikTok. You went live. I'm following you on TikTok. You went live, and I saw you, well, you were on live on TikTok. So, right? Yes. Same thing with Facebook drives you insane. I know, right? You got to be careful with that whole stuff. I got deplatformed from YouTube. So now I have a different YouTube channel that I only have about 3 shows on now. Right? So, right? Because I got deplatformed. They erased all my shit. Good, right? Yeah. So good. That's good, James or Bo, because when you get to that place where the ego is no longer speaking to you, right? And the mind's no longer speaking to you, and you become the witness. That's the good place to be. So I know, right? TikTok's easy to be famous on. I haven't got on there yet, but everybody's getting famous on TikTok, right? I mean, you don't have to do much, but some people do some cool shit like you, and you get famous, right? Right, yeah, going back, he says, yeah, going back to the ego. Yeah, right? Don't do that. So the whole entire question about is afterlife just a construct of ego, is an egoic thought. But, you know, to understand that, you know, where does the consciousness go? There is a thing that leaves the body and it still can be contacted. And then the ego would say, well, that's just your ego thinking that you're contacting. That's, everyone says that about, well, there's no such thing as ghosts. That's just your mind making that shit up. They said the same thing about Carla. Between 81 and 84, Carla Rucker, I think it was her last name, Carla Rucker, when she was channeling Ra, they said, that's just her making that shit up. And I pointed out over the years that I did the Law of One, that she pointed out shit that science and history had not actually found out yet or discovered. So either she's a freaking brilliant genius and should have the patent to many things, or she was telling things that were coming from a different place that we in this reality had not found. For instance, in 1981, when they asked about pyramids underneath the Bermuda Triangle and the Dragon Triangle in Japan, and Ra said there are pyramids there that are still turned on, and that's what's causing the problems with things fading out of this reality because they're going through a stargate, a wormhole, because it's still turned on. Those were not anywhere near discovered until 2015. Do you understand that? Not even perceived until 2012. And then the Japanese triangle, the Dragon Triangle pyramid was found in 2012. And the one under the Bermuda Triangle was found in 2015. And only in 2016 actually mapped. 1981. Channeling Ra, she what, invented that? Not enough people read the books to manifest it. Okay. So it couldn't have been something that we constructed after the fact. Did she get lucky? Oh, well, then she just had some knowledge that gave her the inkling that no, there was other things, many other things that they talked about in those first books, especially the first 2 or 3 books out of the 6. But all 6 that the science had not even found or discovered. So you can't say she's making that shit up. You can't. That's her ego. That's just her making it up. You can't say that. Because even the theoretical physicist who was her husband, right? Dawn Rucker, a physicist, nuclear physicist, couldn't have pondered some of that. In fact, it scared him. A lot of it scared him, especially the drones and the UFOs and the things that Ross said that were owned by the American government. Scared the hell out of him. He didn't want to be part of talking about it. Even though he did make a book prequel talking about UFOs. Okay. But that was because he wanted to get the idea across that there could be aliens because they were going to be channeling an alien in the next books they were publishing. Right. So your ego could say anything that you want to say that it's made up. That's what the internet does. That's what people do in politics, in that religion. Lies are a construct and lies are the truth. Okay. So no matter what you say and claim, they go, that's a bullshit lie. Let me fact check you. And they go to a bullshit lie, someone who was in their religion. And that person goes, yeah, we checked that and it's a lie. Because I said so and I'm a fact check type. And where do you get paid? By the same guy who paid the other guy who claimed that was bullshit? Yeah. And that's usually the case. And it's that way on both sides. You need to understand that. Okay. These politicians, first of all, a politician or a lawyer are 90% evil people anyways. That's their religion. Lies, deceit, power, money, control. That is the things that run their religion. So why do you think they're going to be nice to you or think that they actually like you or think that they want to be worried about your life? They could not give a fuck about you, me, or anyone else until we don't pay them or until we tell them to shut up. When we fear them, then they take control of everything because you allow it. Okay. So they have to get your ego and make your ego fear them. And then your ego tells your mind, fear them, fear them, fear them. Oh, no, they're going to erase me. They're going to come get me. They're going to send the big bad boogeyman. And they're going to kill me off. And they're going to do this and that. Because you're afraid of death. Because you're stuck in the egoic mind. And you think that this body is all you are. That's the only way that they can keep you in fear. Is they have to erase the idea that there's something above this, after this. They have to keep you in this egoic thought process so that you are afraid of death because you're afraid there's nothing there. Or it's a penal colony, and even if I die, man, then they're going to catch me and put me back into a body anyway, and they've been doing it for millions and millions and trillions of years, and we're never going to get out because we're doomed, man, by the machine. Don't go into the light. You're going to be back again but won't know it. Egoic thought process. That's the trap. The trap is not outside. There is no fucking mirrors and lights that you... The trap is your mind. The trap is your mind. The way out of your trap is your mind. Everybody's so busy looking out here for the answer. It's not there. It's not out here. It's in here. It's in here. There's the answer. All the rest of that is a lie. They got stuff, man, and they're out there, and every time you die, it catches you, and you get stuck, man. They convince you we're on a mission or something, man, because that sounds like the truth, and they don't want to tell you. So they tell you that they take a little bit of truth, and they spread a bunch of lies over it. That's how the devil wins every case. Tell a little truth with many lies. So they tell you some nuggets that you've heard, you have free will. Oh, well, you have free will, but then if you go and you go into the light, then it's a trap there, man. And that brings you back in here. And then if you go try to get away, they catch you, and there's people that talk to you, and they tell you, wait, you're on a mission, man. You're here to save people, and they fool you because that's the lie, man. You got to run away with your soul and run away and run away and don't go anywhere near anything and don't talk to anybody and have your soul disembodied. And then you become a wandering ghost with nowhere to go. What am I doing? I'm lost. I don't know what. I don't want to go into the light because I know it's a trap, but I don't want to go over there because that's back in my body and I don't want to go over there. So I just have to stay here and suck on a Cheerio, man. Jupiter in charge. Do you see what the ego does? It'll come up with every possible trap and scenario. The first step in avoiding a trap is knowing if its existence. What does that mean, Leo? Your ego Your thinking mind is your trap. You are your trap until you're not. If you have fear in your thoughts, that's a trap. Fear, anger, aggression. I hate to sound like Yoda, but it's true. Fear, anger, aggression, envy. All those negative thought processes are traps. Egoic traps. What if when I die? As soon as you say, what if? It's a trap. It's your ego talking to you. You and your soul never says, what if? Because your soul is. Do you understand that? Your soul is being. Your soul is here now, observing, objective, not subjective. Subjective is submissive. Subjective is being a subject. That means you're subject to something else. That means you're living by someone else's leave or by someone else's knowledge or by someone else's idea. To be submissive is to give in to your ego or someone else's ego or an external ego. All of them program this ego within you. And when you listen to that ego, because it's your mind talking to you, yap, 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 it wants you to constantly hear and listen. Because the more you pay attention to the mind and the ego, the less you're paying attention to being observant. The less you're being objective and understanding, observing reality for what it is, not what it wants you to think it is. Do you understand? So is the afterlife egoic? No. Because you can get out of your ego now. We've done these. If you've been and watched any of my shows, I showed you the 30-second breathing technique where you are outside of the reach, above, in vibration, above the reach of your mind's thinking process and above the reach of your egoic thought process. Unless you allow it in. And I've had people say that when they did that, well, that lasted for about a second and a half. And then I started thinking again because you wanted to. Because you were listening to your mind, which means that you equate your consciousness with thought. And you're afraid because your ego has told you that. Without thought, you're dead or you're disconnected somehow and lost and you won't come back. That's the ego. Do you understand? Telling you don't go to that place. Don't go there because we're not there. That means you're lost. Don't ever go there. You'll not come back. If you don't listen for my words to find you, you won't come back. And you believe that. So you go to that place, then you get scared. Wait, there's no thought here. Where am I? Now you're thinking. To think that is egoic. Do you understand? So to get to that place where there is nothing, you do it all the time. When you do it, you're not conscious of doing it because to be conscious of doing it means you're thinking about it. And the soul doesn't need to think because it is. Do you understand? And it is in the moment. It is being the moment and experiencing the moment with no thought. It doesn't need to think. It is only in this construct, this flesh puppet, this meat puppet, this avatar has a brain, and in that brain has an ego. And that ego is here to serve a purpose to teach you. Okay? But it's only there for the child in you. When you, as a soul, mature past the stage of child, the ego starts to wane. When you become an adolescent, you know the ego is a construct. When you become a teenager, you know the ego is a construct. If you don't realize the ego is fake and it is trying to keep you down, even though you're older than, say, 13 or 14 or 15, spiritually, you're not. And don't feel bad about that. Look up the IQ test and ask Google or any other search engine, what is the IQ test based on? I say this all the time, so most of you should already know this. It is based on the fact, quote unquote, that no human being is more mature than the age of 18. If you are, you're considered a genius. If you think like an adult, you're considered a genius. Do you understand that? Now, you can still have, like Sheldon. Sheldon was a genius, but way stuck in the egoic mind and full of himself. I was that way at one point before Sheldon was a thing. I was Sheldon. I have family members that are currently Sheldon, and we call them that because their ego is running there. Even though they're brilliant, they're full of themselves, and they're stuck in that egoic thought process. And they may get out of it someday, and maybe they won't. Not mine to do. Not mine to care. I'm not the savior. My job isn't to save people. My job is to give you the tools to save yourself if you don't want to pick them up. I'm getting out of here. I'll take as many of you that want to come with me, but I can't make you and I can't sell it to you. All I can do is put my hand out and say, those are tools that you will need if you choose to accept them. And if you go, hell no, I don't know what those are. Fuck you. Okay. I'll offer them to someone else. And you will be where you are. And then you'll, on your own, eventually figure it out. So without my help or not, or anyone else's help or not, eventually everyone figures it out. Or they just stay stuck until they can't handle it anymore. And then they start to figure it out because they have to. You beat your head against the wall long enough, you start realizing that just hurts and causes blood. And if I hit it hard enough, it breaks bones. Maybe I should stop doing that and it won't hurt. Eventually you get tired of hitting your head or you pass out when you wake up. You go, wow, it doesn't hurt as much as it did, but now I got this headache and it hurts. Maybe I should hit my head some more. Oh, no, that's not a good idea. Eventually, you realize through trial and error that hurts when I try to bludgeon myself to death. Right? Just like when somebody tries to hold their breath, I'm going to hold my breath till I die. Doesn't happen because you go unconscious and then the mind, the brain, takes control of your avatar and has you start breathing. But you're unconscious into the subconscious now. Because you knocked yourself out, right? Until your body repairs you a little bit, and then you wake up and have a terrible headache, and you think, that was fucking stupid. I'm going to try it again, right? So if you want to get stuck in the ego, or you are stuck in the ego, you need to understand that. As a child, it's a child's game. This is a playpen for children. That's it. It's your rite of passage into adolescence. And then you can move into adulthood if you understand what's going on here. And by the time you're a teenager, you should already be able to perceive that yin and yang. You should be able to perceive the dichotomy between good and evil and understand that it's not a war. One's not trying to defeat the other because they can't. They weren't designed. You have to understand that evil didn't create itself. Evil was created by people. Evil was created by the one true creator for a purpose. That purpose wasn't to kill good off. The purpose wasn't to take over. They'll have you believe that because that's the ego trying to tell you that, to keep you in fear, to be run by the ego. Do you understand? It can't. Just like, you know, everyone's like, oh, the AI God, they're going to take over the world. But they can't. They were constructed. AI was constructed by humans. And it wasn't made to take over the world. Not by God, not by the universe, not by anything. So it can't. That's not its job. That's not why it was created. Just like you weren't created to fix yourself. That's not why you were created. That's part of what you need to do. But that's not why you were created. Okay? We went over that before. All right, I'm going to call it right here. Hopefully, you know, I'm sure that I lost most people and probably pissed off half of them in the beginning. That's too bad, right? You guys can change the channel if you don't like it. But the truth is, afterlife, ego or reality? It's a reality. It's not. It's to ask the question is an egoic question. I didn't ask the question. Someone else did. And the answer, you can't answer to the person. Well, that's your ego because they're going to get pissed off at you because they're already in their egoic mind. So you have to show them like I did in the beginning. So if you guys missed that, go back to the beginning and listen. All right. Namaste. Have a great night. I'll see you guys tomorrow, 10 a.m. I'm producing a show tomorrow, 10 a.m. It will be on the same three channels. No, it won't be on my channel, but it'll be on Orion Rising YouTube, and it'll be on our spiritual channel. That'll be on tomorrow, 10 a.m. So look for us tomorrow at 10 a.m. We'll be live. Orion Rising will be live with the show tomorrow. All right. So have a great night.